Certainly it is a blessing to have our minds stayed on Jesus. There are a lot of things you will do if your mind is stayed on Jesus. There are a lot of other things that you won't do when your mind is stayed on Jesus. You will love your wife the way the Bible says love her when your mind is stayed on Jesus. You will parent your children like God mandates when your mind is stayed on Jesus. You'll refrain from gossiping when your mind is stayed on Jesus. You will not engage in the unfortunate practice of envy and jealousy when your mind is stayed on Jesus. You definitely will not hate your neighbor when your mind is stayed on Jesus. When your mind is stayed on Jesus, you won't be disobedient to or sass your mama and your daddy. When your mind is stayed on Jesus, there are so many positive things you will do. We certainly appreciate the fine way Brother Prowl has directed us in our singing. And we appreciate the enthusiastic way that you have blended your voices together in a harmonious fashion with him and with each other as we have engaged in the singing of praises to God. It is a delight to be here this morning. I hope you are happy to be here this morning. Do you feel good about being in worship service? Have you been putting your all into it? Have you been worshiping thus far in spirit and in truth? Do you already feel blessed and enriched by virtue of your worship experience this morning? Turn in your Bibles, please, to the passage that was read by Brother Gary Davis. He read from John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I want to read from John chapter 3, the very passage he read from, in just a moment. But before we do that, as a prerequisite corroborating passage, turn to John chapter 1. We're talking about John the Baptist, not John the disciple whom Jesus loved, but John the baptizer. In 1 John chapter 1, I want to start reading with verse number 19. Follow along with us, please. Verse number 19 of chapter 1 of the Gospel according to John. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" A great deal of curiosity had been aroused by John's preaching and his striking activities as the forerunner of Christ. And so that was a delegation that was sent from Jerusalem to inquire of John, "Who are you?" Have you ever asked yourself that question? You know, who am I? What is my identity? What is my purpose? Now, verse 20 says, "And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" Don't try to mistake me for the Christ. "I am not the Christ." And they ask him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I'm not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then saith they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" If you were asked that question, you know, who are you? What do you say of yourself? What would your response be? Verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not, and he's speaking of Christ. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And then pay particularly close attention to verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And look at verse number 36 as well. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Now turn to the passage from which Brother Gary Davis read just a few moments ago. This is the text that has been selected upon which our lesson this morning shall be based. I want to look at the last verse. I want to look at the last verse. And John is affirming a fact about himself, and he is affirming a fact about Jesus. He says simply, speaking of Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. John said with reference to Jesus, he must increase. He's going to increase, but I'm going to decrease. Based on this passage and other corroborating passages, including the one from John chapter 1, I'd like to use as the specific title of our lesson this morning, Facing the Reality of Going Out of Business. Facing the Reality of Going Out of Business. We had a store in Marigold, Mississippi, owned and operated by a fellow who was generally known as Big Robert Abel. He was a tall, huge man, but he operated this store. And every 2 years or so, he would stage a going out of business sale. And those people who knew him would kind of laugh and say to each other, you know, Robert is going out of business again. He had no real intention of actually going out of business. But this was a ploy that he used to drum up some additional business, because although he affirmed and had it written on his storefront window, going out of business sale, he had no intention of actually going out of business. But John, in a very real sense, affirms in our lesson that he recognizes that he is going out of business. John, in order to face the reality of going out of business, recognized two important things that we also need to recognize. If you are to face the reality of going out of business today, and all of us, by the way, all of us are going out of business. As a matter of fact, we're already in the process of going out of business. You might not want to face and accept the reality of the fact that you're going out of business. Young people, you're going out of business. Older people and old folk, you are going out of business. And every day that I live, I recognize likewise that I am going out of business. And I recognize that every person who is born upon the face of the earth is gradually going out of business. And the sooner we recognize that we are going out of business, the better off we are. It's just according to our nature. It's according to our physical constitutional makeup that we are going out of business. That's the way God designed us. Job recognized this cogent truth in Job chapter 14 and verse 1 when he says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Job recognized that man is in the process of going out of business. The psalmist recognized likewise that we're all in the process of going out of business when he affirmed in Psalm 90 and verse 10, "The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." That's another way of affirming that we, you and I, when we fly away, we are going out of business. How can you face the reality of going out of business? Well, looking at John, we can face the reality of going out of business by recognizing, first of all, who we are. We can recognize who we are, having a proper understanding of our identity of people who are made in the image of God will help us to face the reality of going out of business. All of us, each of us, has value. Each of us has significance. We are so valuable that Jesus died on the cross for us. We are so valuable that he shed his precious blood for us. Now, that was a delegation from Jerusalem, going back to John chapter 1. That was a delegation from Jerusalem, and they sent and inquired, asking, "Who are you, John?" Now, John could have told them that he was somebody that he wasn't. You know, some people like to think of themselves more highly than they ought to. Of course, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, we are told not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. So that signifies to me that we can appropriately think of ourselves highly. We can think highly of ourselves, but we don't need to express and demonstrate inordinate self-esteem. We can think highly of ourselves, but we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. John knew who he was. John knew what his mission was. John knew what his purpose was. And John, when asked, "Who are you?" Verse 20 of chapter 1, confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." John could have at least briefly stolen the show if he had wanted to. But he had no interest, he had no desire to lift himself up in pride and to make the claim to be somebody that he wasn't. I like to encourage all of us to be who we are, but be the best of who we are. You know, you don't have to try to pretend to be somebody else. That was one of the things that was affirmed at Keith Frierson's funeral week before last. He was content to be himself. He didn't try to put on any airs. He didn't try to be somebody that he wasn't. He accepted the reality of who he was. And I want all of us to accept the reality of who we are. And especially, I want us to accept the reality of who we are as Christians, who we are as children of God, and determine by the help of God to be the very best that we can be. Somebody has appropriately stated, if you can't be a pine on top of the hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub by the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best of whatever you are. You know, you have your own blessings and own endowments that have been given to you by God. And you have it within your own power to be the very best of who you are. But don't try to be somebody that you are not. Be content to be who you are and to be the very best of who you are. John, accepting the reality of who he was and what his mission was able to face the reality of going out of business. He said, "I'm not the Christ." They said, "Who are you? Are you Elias?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you that prophet?" He said, "Uh-uh. I'm not Elias. I'm not that prophet." They said, "Well, who art you? I mean, who art thou? Who are you that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What do you have to say of yourself?" He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And those individuals that were sent to him, they were sent by the Pharisees, by the priests and Levites from Jerusalem. So John realized who he was. But not only did he realize who he was, John also realized who Jesus was. And when you realize who Jesus was and claim him as your own, it enables you to face the reality of going out of business. John, the next day in verse number 29, when he saw Jesus coming unto him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." John recognized that there was nobody else that could take away the sins of the world other than Jesus. And he affirmed again in verse number 36, when he looked upon Jesus as Jesus walked, John affirmed again, "Behold the Lamb of God." There's no way possible that you can legitimately and confidently face the reality of going out of business unless you understand who Jesus is and bow in humble and submissive obedience to his will. Remember Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You can't really face the reality of going out of business unless you acknowledge who Jesus is, and unless you bow in humble and submissive obedience to him. You remember we quote from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And then coming all the way down through that chapter and looking at verse number 13, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." When you buy into that concept, as when you buy into the concept of Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, then you can confidently face the reality of going out of business. You know, every time I attend a funeral service, it brings into sharper focus the reality that I and all others are going out of business. Every time I visit a nursing home, it brings into sharper focus the reality that I and others are going out of business. Every time I visit a hospital, it brings into sharper focus the reality that I'm going out of business. You know, every time I feel a pain, that reminds me that I'm going out of business. Every time you hear older folks snap, crackle, and pop, and it's not your cereal, that should remind you that you are going out of business. Every time you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there, that should remind you that you're going out of business. Every time you visit the doctor, you're going out of business. That's an indication that you're going out of business. If you're just going for a checkup even, that's still an indication that you're going out of business. Every time he prescribes a medicine or a particular treatment for you, that's an indication that you're going out of business. Every time that he orders a diagnostic test, whether it's just a regular urine test or a blood test or an MRI or X-ray or CAT scan or PET scan, every time he orders any particular diagnostic test. I was talking to Sister Mott this past week, and she was telling me, she said, "Brother Jones, I had a test. I believe she said a CAT scan just recently." That reminds me that Sister Mott and me are going out of business. And every time the doctor writes me a prescription, that's an indication that I'm going out of business. I'm trying to prolong the process a little bit, but that's a clear indication that I'm going out of business. Every time I visit Walmart Pharmacy and fill a prescription, that's an indication that I'm going out of business. Every time I order a refill from a Credo in Memphis, Tennessee, that's an indication that I'm going out of business. Every time I visit my oncologist, that's an indication that I'm going out of business. Every time you discover a gray hair in your head, that's an indication that you're going out of business. Somebody said, well, I don't discover no more gray hairs in my head because all of them are gray. That's an indication that you're going out of business. You know, they say either your hair's turning gray or it's turning loose. But either way, that's an indication that you are going out of business. Every time you have a backache, that's an indication that you're going out of business. Every time you look for your walking stick, that's an indication that you're going out of business. Years ago at the New Morning Star Baptist Church out east of Marigold, Mississippi, we had an alleged healer to come. And Deacon Shields walked with a cane. And this supposed healer was going to heal Deacon Shields. And Deacon got real emotional. And so what he did was, when he experienced supposedly his healing, Deacon Shields took his walking stick to the back door of the church building and opened the door and threw that out in the weeds. So I don't need no walking stick no more. But a few days later, I believe it was about Tuesday, somebody said they saw Deke out there going through the weeds trying to find that walking stick. But that impressed upon his mind that he had to face the reality of going out of business. And each of us has to face that very same reality because all of us are going out of business. But the wonderful thing is we are going to be able to open up and go back into business on the other side. Because the Bible lets us know, though our outward man perishes, our inward man is renewed day by day. Now, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is going to be renewed day by day. Facing the reality of going out of business, understanding the constitutional makeup of man, knowing that he is composed of flesh and blood and bones, and also recognizing that man has a spirit or a soul. Man has a divine essence that causes him to be kin in a special way to God. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse number 7 that God made man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Later on, however, God affirmed the reality of man going out of business. But Jesus recognized and also affirmed in Matthew 10 and verse 28, he says, don't fear them which can destroy the body, but not the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul. And remember, Jesus said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? When we can face the reality of going out of business, that very fact tends to annihilate animosity in relationships, especially in the body of Christ. That reality affirms and activates achievement. That reality bars bitterness. That reality demands diligence. That reality eliminates envy, encourages evangelism, fosters forgiveness, facilitates faithfulness, generates generosity, invalidates ignorance. It lavishes love and mandates moderation and nullifies negligence and obligates obedience and promotes peace and precludes pride. It quells quarrels and it requires restraints. It rejects rebellion. It suppresses selfishness. It trumps temptation. It undergirds unity. It vetoes viciousness while validating virtue. It exterminates evil. All of these things will be done when we are able to confidently face the reality of going out of business. John said, I must decrease, he must increase. Do you know one day each of us shall die? And that's what I'm saying when I say we must face the reality of going out of business. When David was on his deathbed, when it was obvious that he wouldn't be around much longer, his wife came to him, Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and Nathan also came to him. And you see the customary greeting when you were in the presence of royalty, when you were in the presence of a king. You know what the customary greeting was? Oh, king, live forever. Now, here's a man on his deathbed. David, he's on his deathbed. And they came to him, and in customary fashion, they said to the king, even as he was dying, O king, live forever. But the king was on the very threshold of going out of business. But in order to keep with proper royalty protocol, they said, O king, live forever. But in reality, the king was in the process of going out of business. You know, when we realize that we're going out of business, we will cherish our families more. We will love our wives and our children and our husbands more. We will honor our parents more when we face the reality and accept the reality that we are going out of business. You know, we will enjoy worship more. We will share the gospel more when we face the reality of going out of business. We don't know when. You might live to be 96, even 100. We don't know. Because, see, people go out of business at different ages and different stages. There are some folks who go out of business in infancy. I had a little sister. She died about 2 hours after she was born. Other children die as toddlers. There are folks who die at 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. My father's sister, Alice May, died at age 19. And we can think of a number of persons who died at different ages. Whether they were able to face the reality of going out of business or not, they went out of business. Now, my question is, should you go out of business today, will you be ready to go? If the Lord calls you home today, will you be prepared? If you are here and you're not a Christian, why not become one today? You've heard the good news of the gospel. How Jesus died for your sins and for my sins upon the old rugged cross of Calvary. How he was placed in a borrowed tomb. How he arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. You are aware of that fact. You're aware that he did that for you. You've heard that. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and allow the Lord to make you a part of his family. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Will you get ready to go out of business today? Maybe you're here and you're already a Christian, but you've been unfaithful. Maybe you've not taken your Christianity very seriously. Maybe you have not really gotten engaged into living for Christ. Maybe you've just dropped out. Why not be reinstated today? Why not rededicate your life to the Lord today through repentance, confession, and prayer? Why not do that while we're together standing, while we sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace desire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Why not be washed in the blood of the Lamb today? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Are your garments spotless?
Are they white as snow?
Are you
washed in the blood of the Lamb today? Are you walking daily
by the Savior's side?
Are you
washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Of the
Lamb,
do you rest each moment in the
crucified?
Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed?
Are you washed
in the blood?
In the blood,
in the soul
cleansing blood.